Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you're having a good day. It's good to be back in the studio. Well, I guess it's good. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's nice because I don't have to worry about technical issues and stuff like that. Facebook Live's up and running. We're doing great there. So if you want to join us live, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, just about all the time. Not all the time, period. Because every once in a while I do travel. Every once in a while I take a vacation. But if you want to join us in Facebook Live, just go to your Facebook feed, your app, whatever it is that you use to access Facebook, which most of us do. And just in the search box, put Steve Noble Show, and then you'll find us. And then you can like the page, and then you can join us via Facebook Live right here in the studio. Yesterday, I tried to do that from the beach, but I think God shut that down because that wasn't loving of me, perhaps, to do the radio show showing you that I was on the beach in North Carolina. Not on the beach. I was on a deck kind of overlooking the beach. Anyway, setting that aside, thestevenobleshow.com. Great to be with you. Plenty to talk about today as we kind of go through this. And, of course, I mentioned the Supreme Court, the big Supreme Court decision yesterday, which I'll open with a few comments about that. But then we've got one of the attorneys from Alliance Defending Freedom, which is the group that defended the baker from Colorado, Jack Phillips. So we'll hear from them officially at the bottom of the hour, and we'll have a chat for a few minutes. And what does it mean? What does it not mean as we consider a rather enormous decision yesterday at the Supreme Court? And then there's going to be a decision any day now on the labor union. That's going to be a big deal when that gets handed down. And the labor unions are already bracing that that's not going to go their way. And that's a fight over being able to take dues from labor union members and then using them for political ventures that many labor union members would not want their money being used for, which sounds fair, doesn't it? I don't want you to use my money for this, that, or the other thing. And so that'll come down out of the Supreme Court. But it'll be interesting to see where this goes. The decision yesterday, it is interesting, and this is where I want to challenge all of my Fox News, conservative news friends who's, you know, like me, because you have to be aware. And I saw so many people posting this on Facebook, Twitter, wherever, yesterday, that because several websites said narrow decision, right? Narrow decision. And then you go, it was 7-2, which obviously is not a narrow decision, right? So what in the world were these liberal idiots thinking of? Well, they were thinking about this. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here, which I know might cost me my card as a conservative. But I'm thinking that they're talking about the scope of the decision yesterday is, in fact, limited, really limited to Colorado and the situation there, because the Colorado Human Relations Commission basically likened Jack Phillips to a Nazi. And that's in the Supreme Court decision written by Justice Kennedy. OK, you go read that for yourself and you'll see. But that's the limited nature of the decision. It was not a tight or narrow win. It was a narrow decision in terms of its application, not narrow in terms of its vote. I mean, it's 7-2, which shocked a lot of people, because you got Elena Kagan who voted, and Breyer voted with the majority. And Elena Kagan, who most likely, I think she's out of the closet, is a lesbian, and there she goes voting. What would appear to be against these homosexual men, the two gay men that came into Jack Phillips' shop 6 years ago, 2012. It takes a while to litigate this stuff, obviously. So we'll look at that some more, but it was a big deal. Now, where it goes from here will be interesting to watch, because there are all these other cases. There was the family up in Oregon. I can't remember the name of their cake shop, but they got hammered. They got a $135,000 fine by the state. Now people did jump into action. There was a big, it was like a GoFundMe campaign or something. They raised over $600,000 to help them. So even though their business, I think, effectively was shut down, I don't think it ultimately killed them. And their defense in the courts was done at no cost, because people like Alliance Defending Freedom are out there. But it will be, this is a precedent. Now it's a narrowly focused precedent because of the aggressiveness of the Colorado Human Relations Commission, which was brutal. I mean, this is what Justice Kennedy wrote. The commission's hostility was inconsistent with the First Amendment's guarantee that our laws be applied in a manner that is neutral toward religion. So the problem in Colorado, the biggest problem was that they completely went after Jack Phillips and just hammered him, made all these assertions and allegations as to why he was doing what he did. And again, just to be clear, here's the situation. In any restaurant, any business, any shop, cake shop, whatever, if I walk in there, let's say I'm an African American, and you say, "Sorry, we don't serve African Americans here." Okay, you've got a problem because that's discrimination based on race. Okay, in this case, if a gay couple walks into Jack Phillips' shop and they want to buy cookies or an eclair or a birthday cake or whatever, they can buy anything there. Where it gets sticky is that if they order a wedding cake, now he's using his talents, which the Supreme Court has said in the past, your artistic ability qualifies as speech. Now you're forcing me to use my speech to be a part of something that violates my religious beliefs, my religious conscience. And that's where the fight is. So what happens now is this will be used as a precedent, or it will try to be used as a precedent in other areas, in other cases around the country, whether it's a cake baker or a photographer. Photographers got the same situation. They want to hire you. Let's say you're a Christian photographer. They want to hire you to come take pictures at their gay wedding. And you say, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to use my talent, my ability to go basically be a part of your function because it violates my religious beliefs. And so that's where the fight is. And we'll talk to the attorney from Alliance Defending Freedom after the bottom of the hour to find out what does it mean, what does it not mean, and what's it going to mean around the rest of the country, okay? So we'll do that. So here's one piece of news that nobody is talking about today because we'd rather talk about the Philadelphia Eagles or Donald Trump and patriotism. We'd rather talk about whether Melania Trump, you know, why isn't she showing up at things? We want to talk about what other stupid stuff do we want to talk about? But here's one thing, and I just saw this one. Ben Shapiro wrote this article, breaking. Listen to this. Social Security and Medicare to go bust sooner than expected. Now, have you heard that anywhere today? I've been listening to the radio for the last 3 hours on Sirius XM and other things. I didn't hear that anywhere. Not anywhere. And it broke at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Time, AP. Here was their tweet. Government Medicare will be Medicare will become insolvent in 2026, 3 years earlier than expected. Social Security to follow in 2034. By the way, thanks for the reminder, my buddy Forrest, on Facebook Live today. By the way, get used to that number getting a little bit closer to today every day, because that's the reality. Because in many ways, I think the Trump presidency is doing well. But one thing that they're tanking and the whole Congress is tanking is we're going deeper into debt all the time at an increasing rate. And we can't survive that much longer. We'll be right back. Because you want more. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And rolling back from just a couple days out on the coast in North Carolina with some friends of ours that were kind enough. Tomorrow night, I'm on an airplane. Tomorrow, a really neat show. Sometimes when I'm on the road, my good friend who's a pastor, Pastor Chris Connell, is going to be, he fills in for me occasionally, but he's going to be with me tomorrow. He just got back as a pastor, as a Christian, from his very first trip to Israel. So we're going to pull some fruit off that tree yesterday, a trip to the Holy Land. We'll do that tomorrow and talk with Pastor Chris. And then I'll be on a plane to Dallas, and I'll be live from AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play on Thursday and Friday. Friday Theology, Thursday we're going to do a show all about the different theology involved with evangelism, sharing the gospel, how people get saved, what does that mean to be born again, all that kind of stuff. We're going to do it on Thursday, and then Friday that'll be a different show. We're working on getting my buddy Congressman Mike Johnson, who used to do a lot of legal stuff together in North Carolina when we were doing a whole lot of activism, and he was one of the top legal experts and attorneys at Alliance Defending Freedom at ADF. So we're trying to get him on Friday, and I'm sure we'll have lots of other things to talk about on Friday as well. And then Sunday is Harvest America, harvestamerica.com. If you want to make sure your family members, perhaps your spouse, a neighbor, coworker, friends want to hear a clear and kind of present day proclamation of the gospel and be given a chance to respond right then and there. That's what Harvest America is all about with Pastor Greg Laurie. So we'll be live Sunday night. You can just go to harvestamerica.com. It'll be on Facebook Live on Greg's Facebook channel. that would just look it up under Greg Laurie. I'm doing radio that night for like 2.5 hours, and God's blessing that. We haven't done that before for Harvest America. We've done it for other crusades, but we're up over 600 stations now that are going to carry that. So I'm going to guest host that. Janet Mefford and I are doing that one together on Sunday night. So a lot going on, and then I'll be back here sometime, God willing, next week. I mentioned this before the break, and you're not really seeing this. But this is a story that it's amazing that we kind of put this stuff on the back shelf. So breaking, Social Security, Medicare to go bust sooner than expected. Ben Shapiro wrote an article just a little while ago because this came out. This was a tweet from the Associated Press. Breaking, government. Medicare will become insolvent in 2026, 3 years earlier than expected. Social Security to follow in 2034. 2026. What's the year right now? It's 2018. Okay, so we're talking 8 years from now, Medicare will become insolvent. No money, broke. Then what do you do? Now, I've done this before. I'll play it again, probably sometime next week. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll play this again. This was done back in 2012 by a very unlikely suspect, Anthony Robbins, who's like the personal power guru guy, self-help kind of guy. But he did this thing back in 2012 based on an Iowa blogger called the... Iowa Hawkeye. I can't remember what he is, but conservative blogger. But what he did is he took at the time, 2012, he took the federal budget, which was about $3.9 trillion of expenditures a year, broke it down per day. So we still spend about $10.7 billion a day. Then over the calendar year said, okay, now let's go after all the traditional sources. If we're going to go kind of get a bunch of cash, who do we go after? So we went after in that example, and then based on how much money we were able to take from these different groups and people, we applied it to the federal budget and to try to pay for the whole thing through the course of 1 year, okay, $3.9 trillion in expenditures. So it started with, I think, the Forbes 400, and then Fortune 400, the 400 biggest companies in the world. And it started with the first two, like Exxon, and I think at the time it was Walmart, and took all their global profits, which hardly put a dent in it. And then we did the whole Fortune 500, right? The 500 biggest corporations in the world took all their global profits, which got us into like February. And then things like all the advertising of all the years of the Super Bowl. And then all the sports, NASCAR, PGA, all of it. Confiscate all their profits, do all that. Then go after the richest 2%. We went after that. Took all 100% tax, took all of that. Went after the Forbes 400, all the richest Americans. And via the death tax at first took half of their net worth. And then said, oh, forget it. Let's take it all. And you go through all this, all these companies, all these people, all the rich. You're soaking it. You're killing a golden goose, right, all over the place. And you end up getting somewhere in December, within at the last, to get to the end of the year, every man, woman, and child in America had to write a check for like $44.63. And the point being, you could soak every source of income and wealth in the American system, corporations, industries, and individuals. Take it all, literally all of it, all the profit, all the net worth. And all you could do is pay for 1 year of the federal budget. $3.9 trillion. The math is solid, and that's the deal. And so we're going ballistic talking about Donald Trump and the Philadelphia Eagles, and let's have a rah-rah, sis-boom-bah patriotic party in the Rose Garden instead. And nobody's talking about this. Nobody. Now, because I teach high school-age homeschoolers every year, and I do a two-semester civics and constitution course called Foundations of Freedom, which, by the way, we just put online, I have to go down this road with them. And it is not fun. And to watch them as I'm explaining it to them, I show them that particular video is about, I don't know, it's about 18 minutes long. I boiled it down for radio to about 11 minutes. And it is a shocking display of what is and is not possible. And then I show them the national debt clock and explain to them the federal bureaucracy and what we've done to ourselves. And then I say, you know, how are you going to solve this? Because the math just doesn't work. Now, we could open up all the pipelines. We can do all kinds of all that stuff helps. But it doesn't at $21 trillion now and another $80 to $120 trillion in unfunded liabilities over the next 30 years, including the two things in this article, Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. And then you can't fix it mathematically. So what happens? I don't have an answer to that. I do know that God calls us to pray for those in authority over us. And that's one big reason to do so. Because no man, woman, or child, no Republican, no Democrat, no old person, no young person has all the answers to that. You need God-sized wisdom and mercy, and you also need to be in a country that would be willing to give up its life on the Titanic in opulence and live on a shrimp boat. That's the way I talk to my students about it. I said, Americans have to be willing. You'll know that the government has gotten serious when everybody hurts, when it costs everybody something. The top end, the low end. And everybody's going, holy cow. That's what you're going to hear. If they ever get serious, and I don't think they will, I think ultimately America's going to have to cut so many deals and even cutting spending. You do 1% a year, you'll make a dent if you start dealing with just the debt that we're at right now. But you add unfunded liabilities to it over the next 25, 30 years, and it doesn't work. I've sat there with calculators and stuff for hours on end and tried to figure it out, and you can't get the math to work. So what happens? Do we merge with Canada and Mexico? Do we start cutting deals all over? I do not know. But it is scary. And even more scary is that we're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles not going to the White House and Donald Trump and all that stuff today, and nobody's talking about this, at least not that I've heard. And it's just, it's insane. It's insanity. And we can read books about what happened to Rome and how it collapsed in on itself. And that's exactly what's happening here. Have I lost hope for America? I haven't lost hope for Americans, not from an eternal perspective. Have I lost hope for America, the country? Not completely. Am I pretty negative about it? Am I concerned about it because I have four children and, God willing, my children will have children? Yep, you bet I am. And I don't have any answers for them other than to cry out to the Lord and ask Christ to come back sooner as opposed to later. This is Steve Noble. We'll talk to the attorney from Alliance Defending Freedom when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com, N-O-B-L-E. We were talking, of course, I mentioned it yesterday when it broke in the Supreme Court decision on Jack Phillips and what was going on there, 7-2 decision. And then, of course, people going, you know, some news outlets called it a narrow decision, which, of course, 7-2 is anything but narrow. But the scope of the decision could be described as narrow. And so we needed to get some expertise. So as long as I've been a Christian activist, which goes all the way back to 2004, I've always had friends and associates and access to folks at Alliance Defending Freedom, which was just an unbelievable organization that we just thank God for, a whole network of Christian attorneys plus their own staff across the country, one of which is Kate Anderson, who's with the Center for Conscience Initiatives as part of ADF. Kate, thanks for calling in today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we really want to understand and need your help to understand what exactly does this ruling that came out of the Supreme Court yesterday, what does it mean? And what is its scope versus what doesn't it mean? What doesn't it do in terms of things outside of Colorado?
Well, it was a significant win for religious freedom. The court in the 7-2 decision was very clear that government cannot act with hostility against people of faith, and that on the issue of same-sex marriage, views on both sides of that issue have to be respected. And that was a significant victory in this case, really for everybody, because freedom for one is great for all. Where I think people are suggesting that it's narrow, and I don't agree with that characterization necessarily, but where I think that it's coming from is that the court focused entirely on religious freedom issues in the case and left on the table free speech claims that were also brought in the case. Honestly, that's very common for the court to decide a case on certain grounds and leave other questions for a later time. And there are certainly cases coming up through the courts that I think will bring the appellate courts and eventually the Supreme Court to look more closely at the free speech implications. But because of Colorado's behavior, honestly, at the commission level, this court decided that they need to send a loud and clear message that the government has to stop discriminating against people of faith.
Yeah, because it wasn't a big part of this case, Kate, that Colorado acted with such aggression towards Jack Phillips?
Yes, very much so. In the comments that were made to him and about his religious beliefs in hearings before the commission, as well as the differential treatment of his beliefs. The commission was also considering complaints against three other bakeries who had decided to decline messages that were critical of same-sex marriage, and the commission said that it was fine to decline those messages, but not okay for Jack to live according to his beliefs, even though he serves everyone.
And so as we look at this, how does this get applied to the stories that we've been hearing for years? And especially like the couple, I think it was up in Oregon, whose business basically went under, whether they're cake bakers or whether they're photographers. How is this particular ruling in Colorado coming out of the Supreme Court yesterday going to impact those cases that have already kind of come through the news cycle and things that are kind of on the boilerplate in the future?
Well, the court made it clear that no one should be bullied or banished from the marketplace simply for living out their religious beliefs. And that's a principle that's going to apply to other cases that are working their way through the court. The government simply can't treat people of faith with religious hostility. There's no place for that in our pluralistic society. So I think you'll see in those court cases that be further considered by courts, exactly how the governments are treating certain beliefs held by millions, frankly, on this issue, as well as there will be other claims that start to come forward with free speech that weren't handled by this particular case. But I think it does strengthen the religious freedom rights for everyone.
Now, what about the concerns that some people have that this will kind of give Christians or Muslims or any other religious person kind of a right to start to refuse service to people because they don't line up with their religious beliefs? Should we be concerned about that it's going to be abused the other direction?
Absolutely not. Jack serves all customers, and that's true of all of the cases that I've seen coming through the courts. We're talking about business owners who want to live according to their faith, which tells them to respect people and to love people and to serve everyone, and they do. But that doesn't mean that creative professionals can create all messages, can be required to use their creative talents to create a message that violates their deeply held convictions. And that really is a protection that goes both ways. Under that same principle, we would never require a lesbian graphic designer to create a flyer for a group that was going to oppose same-sex marriage. Similarly, we don't ask Jack to create a custom message with his own skills that conveys a message he can't stand behind.
So when you mention kind of the creative aspect and what qualifies as speech and what doesn't, can you give us some examples and maybe some court history of what would qualify as creativity that's protected by free speech law?
Well, obviously speech, words, music, the court has really looked at anything that takes on somebody's creative talents. Usually you see various court cases that look at it in terms of categories and things that have been traditionally protected, things that are art, sculpture, photographs, all have been protected, as well as poems, verse, music. There's a number of things. And really when the court considers new areas of speech like cake, they look to see how close they are to traditional forms of speech that have been protected. So in Jack's case, it would be the sculpture, the painting that he does on the cakes, that type of artistic talent that's just used in the medium of cakes, but in all other contexts would be protected.
Which is different than some restaurant owner, because a restaurant owner in preparing meals for people is not incorporating kind of artistic speech. Is that correct?
Yes. Somebody who is selling something not creative does not fall under that particular concern.
For ADF, kind of where do you see this going in the future? Because obviously there were the free speech issues that weren't covered in this particular ruling by the Supreme Court. So what's kind of next on this front? And then were you surprised that by the 7-2 vote?
Well, I was surprised by the 7-2 vote, as I think many people were. But the Constitution clearly protects people's rights to religious freedom. And it was very reassuring and encouraging to see so many justices come out strongly on that end. I think that's going to impact future cases and send a clear message to governments that they have to respect people's religious beliefs. There is room in this culture for everyone and for everyone's views, and the government needs to be respecting that. In terms of cases coming up, I think you'll see more discussion of that in the cases, more protection of those freedoms, as well as litigation on free speech concerns that overlap with free exercise.
In terms of rights to conscience, which is obviously what you focus on, but religious liberty in general, where do you think the most fierce battles are going to be over the next several years here in America?
I think these are still, most of the stuff coming up is still centered on same-sex marriage and differing views on that. We're also seeing some on college campuses about the freedom to speak and to live out one's conscience in what's being said on college campuses.
And just for the sake of our listeners and friends here that might not be as familiar with ADF, because I've been working with you guys. I've known Alan Sears since about 2005, and Mike Johnson, who's now in Congress, is a good buddy of mine. He was one of the top attorneys at ADF. But explain for everybody just exactly what Alliance Defending Freedom does.
Well, we're a legal organization. Everything we do is pro bono. We're nonprofit, and we've been a strong Supreme Court advocate. We represent people on First Amendment issues, really trying to vindicate everyone's right to both free speech and free exercise of their religious beliefs.
And then what's the ADF website for everybody?
ADFlegal.org.
Kate, thanks so much for being with us today. That's really helpful, and I look forward to having you on again in the future.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon. And just a kind of a word of warning to all of us. That's so easy, especially in social media, Facebook, whatever, and in this media cycle that's just feeding us constantly. I mean, how often did I not check my phone over the last 2.5 days when I was literally trying to spend some time away from all this stuff? It's hard. You get so used to it. And then you see something, we react emotionally. That's generally what we lead with. We lead with our emotional reaction. And then we start looking at other reactions out there. And the ones that we like that equate with our emotional reaction, we tend to share and like and propagate those. The ones that we don't, we ignore. And so we're kind of carried along by our emotions. I've done this where I've had to retract things that I've shared on Facebook, where all of a sudden you find out it's not even true or it's just inaccurate. And so just a word of warning, when something like this happens, like a big case yesterday, or whatever the next thing is, the Philadelphia Eagles thing is a perfect example because they had like 80 members of the team that agreed to come, and then all of a sudden the timing didn't work, so they pushed back on that, suggesting another date, and then Trump's going to be out of the country for that date. And so all of this stuff logistically gets blown into a political conversation. You get the mayor of Philadelphia coming out saying some crazy things. Then Trump does what he does. And then we just get caught up in it. And this is my challenge to myself, as well as you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that our role in this country is really not to be sycophants for this party or that party. It's you are an ambassador. If you're born again, you're an ambassador. You're not an ambassador of the United States. You're not an ambassador to the president. You're not an ambassador of any political party. You can be a member of those things and support those things, but I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And our role in the culture, our role in the world primarily is evangelistic. Secondarily, it's discipleship. And third, it's a prophetic witness. We speak truth to power based on God's word, regardless of who the power is, what their name is, or what party there is. So let's slow down and make sure we're representing God before anything else. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
Well, I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Okay, let me throw the phones open here just for this final segment. If you have time, you want to jump in there. Just your reaction to this ruling yesterday out of the Supreme Court, or if you want to sound off on the Philadelphia Eagles thing, I'm not going to pour a lot of my time into that. But if you would like to share something on that one, I'd be more than happy to share a little airtime with you. Or you want to react to the Supreme Court ruling yesterday about Jack Phillips out of Colorado. And the big story there, of course, and that was a big decision. There's no taking a position other than that. That was a really big deal. But if you want to respond to that or even the Social Security, Medicare thing, anything that I've been talking about, and we'll give you the opportunity to do that. But you better call fast because we're going to be out of time in about 10 minutes. 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number here. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Perhaps you're still reeling from last Friday's show. I missed it, and I used to do more shows like that. Where Stu Epperson, my buddy that owns and founder of the Truth Radio Network, was asking, should born-again Christians drink alcohol? That's just one of those kind of questions that you can get into, that kind of smells like legalism. You start doing that. Like in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to do my annual show on Christian women and men and bikinis. I love doing that one. Should a born-again Christian woman or parents, if you have daughters, is it somehow unchristlike to wear a bikini? And where do you go with that? Because some women will say, hey, guys, control yourselves. And guys will say, hey, ladies, don't flaunt it. All that kind of stuff. That's an interesting conversation. I don't do it as much as I used to. Because I think sometimes I do those things just for sensational reasons, because the phone always rings. I'm not saying that about my buddy Stu, but in my case, but I will do, because it's always an interesting conversation. Just like I do the Santa Claus conversation every year, I do a Halloween conversation every year. I go down those roads because that's kind of real life. That's what we say on the website, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life. And so we're going to do that. But today, if you want to chime in on any things that I've been talking about, 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, and be happy to share a little airtime with you today. Let's jump over to Melissa's calling in right here in my backyard in Raleigh, North Carolina. Melissa, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine. So I'm new to the Truth Channel here in Raleigh.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it's been amazing. And I just wanted to sound off regarding Eagles, and they're getting their invitation to the White House rescinded.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
The thing about it is, we have, in my opinion, we have a president who is unfortunately a toddler. You know, I mean, he's concerned about the Eagles. He should be concerned about the logistics with that summit he's trying to have, and about how North Korea can build bombs, but they can't afford for their own accommodations. Okay, that's where I think that's where the focus is. There, the Eagles, they never really even intended to come to the White House anyway. You know,
well, 80 of them did.
So,
80 of them actually agreed before. 80 of them actually were signed up to go from the whole organization, and then they had a bunch of fans that were going to be there. All the rah-rah, sis-boom-bah stuff, I actually think, and I said this earlier, I don't know if it was on the air or during a commercial break, Melissa, but I was like, I think that given the condition of the country financially and otherwise, and given the nature of what's going on around the world, I don't think the president of the White House should be spending much time with all the rah-rah, sis-boom-bah stuff.
Well, you know, listen, I could definitely understand where you're coming from, but, you know, one thing about it, I think, it is definitely, because this did not just happen with the Eagles. It happened with the NBA team as well, as well too. And one thing about Trump, I'm sure we can kind of agree on, he likes popularity. You understand?
You know, what gives you that idea?
I know, right? He's still talking about the popular vote. How about it, okay? And he likes popularity, and it's so funny because he does that, I guess, call it elementary school move, where I'm not going to invite you because I know you don't want to come anyway.
Yeah, pick up your toys and leave the sandbox. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, pick up your toys, right, even though I'm past my curfew, right? How about that? So.
I know where you're coming from, Melissa, and I appreciate you. Hey, I'm glad you're listening to Truth Radio. It's got great teaching and great talk in the afternoons, and we're glad you're a part of the show now. Thanks for calling in.
You're so welcome. Listen, have a blessed day. Thank
you. You too. Thanks so much. Amen. Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Let's jump over to Stephen calling in from Greensboro. Wants to talk about Jack Phillips. Stephen, thanks for listening and calling in today. Go right ahead.
Yes, by the way, I love your show.
Thanks, man.
And yeah, I just had some thoughts. Prior to this year, I ran a private service business, servicing things and customers' homes, servicing businesses, churches, schools, all kinds of places. And I'm a born-again Christian, and I know it's exactly what the Bible says about homosexuality. But I have had many opportunities to share that I have a faith with some people who believe very differently than I do. And one of the ways was not deciding I was not going to do business with certain people. I asked a very trusted pastor that question, and he said, if you start cutting out all of your non-Christian cutting out all of your non-Christian customers, how much business you can have? And so I have mixed emotions. I respect their right not to do it. I think they could have said, hey, I disagree with what you believe in, but I thank you for your business. And if you ever want to hear what Jesus Christ says about this subject, I'll be glad to open the Bible. I have said that very same thing in a meeting of and three people in our group that I was in stood up and said, yes, we're homosexual. And one guy said, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't want to be a member of this anymore. And it didn't have anything. It was not a religious group. It was just a professional organization.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking very fast because I don't want to take up a lot of your time.
I think it's
a really tough thing because the person's willing to come to my business that I previously operated and do business with me. And if they ask me what the Bible says about it, I will tell them the country has definitely some very, you know, some very questionable morals that we support. I have friends who are openly gay. They're still my friends, and they know that they probably, I think all three of them know what the Bible says. They're just trying to step around it. I just have really mixed emotions about just denying the, just not doing business with somebody.
And I think that's great that we struggle with it. Stephen, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that today. And that's a great point. You should struggle with it. That's why you start talking about the right to conscience. I can't dictate for you, if you're a fellow Christian brother, sister, I can't dictate to you the limits or the sensitivity of your conscience. You know, when I owned my house painting company for 14 years, we painted for lots of people that I knew just in the course of getting to know them, because I would spend about an hour, hour and a half at their home just to give them a price, that we were, you know, opposed from a worldview perspective, politically. I gave lots of quotes to same-sex couples or just an individual that happened to be homosexual, and it was obvious, and that didn't affect my price. It didn't affect my interest in having their business. It didn't affect anything other than I thought, well, you know, this is an opportunity for me to represent Christ well, and odds are this person probably doesn't make a profession of faith, but really, if you're going to be sensitive like Christ does, you have to start looking at everybody through that lens. Sinners, yes. Do deplorable things, yes. Backbiters, the whole list is in there. Go read the New Testament. It's all over the place, right? Such were some of you. Such was I, okay, back before Christ. And so you start to look through the lens that Jesus looked through, and he looks out at the masses and he weeps because he sees they're like sheep without a shepherd. We tend to look out at the masses and I start putting them in little silos. There's the Republicans here. Here's the conservatives. Here's the independents. Here's the libertarians. Here's the moderate Democrats. Here's the whack job far left Democrats. Here's the homosexuals. Here's the Black Lives Matter people. Here's the pro-aborts. Here's the and all this stuff. And I'm siloing everybody. I'm dividing it all up and putting. And I kind of like these people. I can't stand those people. I like the people over here. And even Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. You know that you got to remember and try to think biblically. Is our primary responsibility in the world, as Christians, to convict it of its sin? No. As a matter of fact, that's not my job at all. What convicts people of their sin? Let me rephrase that. Who convicts people of their sin? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. So I think we need to do a much, much better job, and I mentioned this earlier, of this prophetic witness into the culture, where we can, as dispassionately as possible in some cases. On the issue of life, I'm not going to be dispassionate. I can be calm. I can have a calm conversation with a pro-abort person and not lose my mind and not treat them like garbage. I can be calm, but I'm not dispassionate because I'm passionate about the issue of life. I'm passionate about the gospel. I'm passionate about the lost. So we have this kind of tension that we have to live in as Christians who happen to, by God's grace and providence, live in the United States of America, that you have to be able to primarily think biblically and evangelistically first about people outside the faith from a discipleship perspective about people inside the faith. And that's primarily how we need to approach it. And then the issues we deal with, bringing God's truth to bear as much as you possibly can, which is why we're supposed to study the scriptures and show ourselves approved so that we can handle the conversations biblically. Because I'll always ask the question, can you back that position up biblically for me? Are you a Christian? Yes. Okay, so you should be able to. You're called to think biblically. You're called to think, to take every thought captive that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You're called to put away the vain deceptions of the world. Go read the book of Colossians. And then deal with biblical truth. And if you can't back up your position biblically, you got to think more deeply and you got to study more. But the way we interact with people, just back to Stephen's point, they come into your store, you have a bakery store, and it's a gay couple, and you got to would you rather have a relationship with them or not? Or is that for you to bake the cake and to be a part of that, play a part in that wedding or whatever you want to call it? Some people might have a problem with that, conscience-wise. Other people might go, you know what? I'm just going to serve them and pray for an opportunity to share with them what I believe. And as long as you've got that kind of heart and you're trying to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and love your neighbor as yourself, you're in a much better place as a Christian that lives in America. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.